Chapter 3. Freedom crossed her arms and leaned back in her chair. Tommy looked back at Freedom, then back to me, shrugging his shoulders. Freedom stared at me like I might disappear if she looked anywhere else. I finally asked, "Freedom, is there something I can do for you?" She was twisting her hair between her fingers. I could tell that she was pondering whether she wanted to say something or not. She looked across the room at Tommy and then back at me. She was a pretty girl with very tan skin. She flipped back the blue feather in her hair and then pushed the rest of her long black hair behind her shoulders. Finally, she spoke and said he never left. "Excuse me?" I asked, I'm not sure I understand what you're referring to. Actually, I knew exactly what she was referring to, but I decided to play dumb. "Liberty. He's still in the room," she calmly said. "I can smell him. Horses have a strong scent, and if you look closely, you can see his image outlined against the back wall." Still sitting in her chair, she turned around and traced Liberty's outline with her finger. "I don't see anything," Tommy said as he strained to see what Freedom was pointing at. It was apparent that Freedom had a gift. She acted as sure as if she were pointing at the sun. Questions raced through my head. Could I trust these students about the time travel abilities that Liberty and I enjoyed? Would they be able to keep the secrets about our historical missions? I decided to take a chance. And I said, "As I mentioned earlier, Liberty is an extraordinary horse. In addition to his language skills, he has the ability to disappear." "Not disappear," said Freedom. "He's blending into his surroundings like a chameleon." And suddenly, Liberty reappeared right where Freedom had pointed, gasping for air. "I couldn't hold my breath a second longer," said Liberty, still trying to catch his breath. "What the—" Tommy exclaimed. He looked at Freedom, and then to me, then back at Liberty. "Did he just appear out of thin air? That's awesome! I mean, that's the coolest trick ever. How do you do that?" Explaining the impossible is never easy, but I tried my best. And I said, "Soon after Liberty and I met, we discovered that when Liberty holds his breath, he can turn invisible." "Well, he's invisible to most people," I said, glancing at Freedom. "It's sort of like when you hold your breath and your face begins to turn red or even purple. When you let out the air, the color in your face returns to normal. It's the same principle with Liberty." "Except he turns invisible," Tommy said. "Coolest thing ever." "Frankly, I'm surprised that Freedom can see through the disguise," I said. I've seen Liberty vanish at least 100 times. I'm still not always sure if he's in the same room." Freedom smiled and replied, "I've had lots of practice tracking animals with my grandfather." Tommy walked over and touched Liberty on the back just to make sure he was real. "That is so cool how you can change like that," Tommy said. Liberty smiled, said, "I think we need a name, you know, since we all know the secret. We could be the Four Musketeers, or the Fantastic Four, or the Four Amigos, or—" Tommy started laughing and said, "Your horse cracks me up." "Don't encourage him," I pleaded. "I like him too," Freedom said, "but he's more than a horse. He must be a spirit animal. There's an Indian legend about animals that can talk to humans." I pondered the idea, and I replied, "I don't know Liberty's whole story. Even Liberty doesn't know what happened exactly. Liberty, tell him what you remember the day you traveled to modern-day America." Liberty cleared his throat and slowly began, "It was a dark and stormy night." "Liberty!" "Seriously, it was. I don't remember the year, but I do remember that in the evening we used only candles and lanterns." "Oh, and I remember George Washington." "Oh, and Paul Revere. His story is one of my favorites because who doesn't love the fact he was racing a horse to warn the Minutemen that the British were coming? I mean, if you ask me, the horse is a real hero." I jumped in and said, I've concluded that liberty is originally from the revolutionary time period, lived during the Revolutionary War. His memory's spotty, but he has several strong memories during the 1770s, the Boston Tea Party, the ride of Paul Revere, the Battle of Bunker Hill, the public reading of the Declaration of Independence. And I specifically remember hearing that in 1775, Alexander Cummings invented the flushing toilet, exclaimed Liberty. I've never heard you mention that, I said, surprised. Well, it just popped into my head, Liberty replied. But that doesn't explain how Liberty ended up in modern-day America, said Tommy. Or the fact that he can talk and turn practically invisible, Freedom added. Yes. Well, let me try to explain, I said. Liberty remembers a lightning storm, and then Liberty butted in. Look, I'm not a big fan of lightning. Just the thought of it gives me the willies. But I continued. It appears that lightning may have struck Liberty and created a supernatural phenomenon or a time portal that thrust him forward in time to our day. The electrical properties that charged through his body and the vortex that sent him into the future changed him physically and mentally. He can not only talk and disappear, but he's also, and I paused trying to formulate the right words, and Freedom finished my sentence and said, a time machine. What? Tommy said, confused. Did I miss something? Did you just say time machine? Well, he's more like a time portal, I said to clarify. He has the ability to momentarily open a time door to anywhere in history. Well, more specifically, anything that touches American history. Tommy started laughing. Okay, this is a joke. I'm on to you. I mean, this is some reality TV show called The Biggest Bozo Who Believes Anything, right? I mean, where are the cameras? Tommy started looking around the room, and he then looked at Freedom and back at me, and both of us were dead serious. You believe this guy? Tommy asked Freedom, sticking his thumb out at me. Freedom replied, you have just seen and heard a talking horse who turned invisible, but you won't believe he can travel through time? Hey, look, I might be crazy, but I'm not that crazy, okay, Tommy said. He got up from his desk, and he started pacing the floor. He took off his baseball cap, he combed his fingers through his blonde hair, and sighed, I have to think about this for a minute. Now, we probably shouldn't show them the other thing I can do, should we? I mean, he seems a little freaked out right now, Liberty said. No, I said firmly. I took a deep breath. I need to finish our story, because I believe the lightning created the time portal that brought Liberty to the modern day. Tommy put his baseball cap back on and said, okay, maybe it is possible. I mean, I don't think the lightning hit him directly. Technically, a direct hit would have killed him. But I guess there's a possibility that several bolts could have simultaneously hit the ground around him, creating an electrostatic prism, and maybe the positive and the negative charge carriers, combined with the acoustic shock waves, created some kind of hole that sent Liberty to the future. Freedom and I were stunned by Tommy's explanation. Aren't you a football player, Freedom said. You're never this smart in our other classes. Yeah, well, I really wouldn't fit in with the other guys on the team if I admitted that I'm a science geek, Tommy replied. I patted Tommy on the shoulder and I said, exceptional thinking, Tommy. Now then, where was I? Oh, yeah. When Liberty arrived in our time, he appeared at the intersection of Washington Boulevard and Lincoln Avenue in front of that iced tea factory. It was late at night, and I was leaving the factory dressed as Paul Revere. Wait. You were dressed like Paul Revere like you are now? Asked Tommy. Yes, that's right, I said. I'd been hired as part of a promotional campaign. My Paul Revere self was printed on banners, billboards, buses, even on the side of bottles. It was rather embarrassing, but it paid good money. Anyway, as I was saying, I was leaving the factory dressed as Paul Revere when I had the strangest feeling that I was being followed. Liberty was nearly trotting in place, excitedly said, Oh, can I tell this part? I was so happy to see someone that I recognized. Well, I mean, I'd never met Rush Revere before, but I recognized his clothing. It was the only thing that felt like home. I first saw him on a billboard, then on the side of a bus. And when I saw him walking out of the iced tea factory, it was like, ah, that's him! But there were all these traffic lights and cars and horns, and they sort of freaked me out because I'd never seen or heard any of these things before. So I was like, ah, and I ran across the street, and I weaved my way through traffic and nearly stopped when I smelled the heavenly scent coming from the peanut vendor. I was like, oh, man, this smells so good. But I couldn't stop because I didn't want to lose sight of Rush Revere. I knew he could help me, so I started following him. That's right, I said, and after weaving my way through town for a couple of miles, I realized that the strange horse, no offense, was not giving up. Of course, I was very curious why a horse without a rider would be following me, so I decided to simply stop walking, wait for him to catch up. Yeah, and I'm glad you did, but if I were you, there's no way I would have stopped. I mean, you might be a mugger, or a zombie, or even worse, a vacuum cleaner salesman, Liberty said. I continued. Anyway, I had to pinch myself several times when Liberty started talking. And when we discovered that he had the ability to open a time portal, well, I was reluctant to jump through. Nevertheless, I did. And it was the beginning of our adventures through history. Tommy turned to Freedom and said, you realize we can't tell anybody about this. Seriously, Mr. Revere would get fired. And even worse, I'd probably get invited to join a chess club. What's so bad about the chess club? Freedom asked defensively. Sorry I brought it up. It's just that at a different school I was in a chess club. One word, boring. No competition. Pretty much wasted everybody, and all these chess nerds followed me around like I was their king. No, thank you. Well, look, there's no reason why anyone else needs to know about our secret of time travel, I said. I turned to Freedom, and I asked, I'm fairly certain that you saw Liberty and me jump through the time portal earlier today, correct? Freedom nodded and said, yes, I did. At first, I wasn't sure what I saw. And as I said, I thought Liberty must have been a spirit animal. Maybe you were a great shaman. I didn't know, but I'm glad to know the truth. So, wait a minute, Tommy said. Are you saying that when we saw you in the movie, you were actually time-traveling, literally? Well, I know it's hard to believe, I said, but as the saying goes, seeing is believing. Liberty, I think it's time for another history lesson. Tommy, you ready to experience firsthand some American history? Tommy looked at Freedom and then to Liberty, who nodded wildly and then back to me. And he finally said, you mean now? We can do that? I mean, of course I want to go. My football coach won't be happy that I skipped practice, but Tommy said, laughing, I'll just blame it on the new substitute history teacher. Oh, I need to be home for dinner or my mom won't be happy either. No problem, I said. Freedom, how about you? Freedom glanced at the clock on the wall and looked disappointed. My grandfather will be here to pick me up any minute. Could I go another time? Absolutely, I said. Thanks, Freedom replied. I better go. I'm sure my grandfather is waiting. So she grabbed her backpack and started for the door. She looked over her shoulder and said, bye, Mr. Revere. Bye, Tommy. Bye, Liberty. Freedom stared intently at Liberty one last time. She winked and exited the classroom. Did you just hear that? Liberty asked. Hear what? Tommy questioned. I heard Freedom's voice echo in my head. She said, don't have too much fun without me, right before she left the classroom, said Liberty. Fascinating, I thought. Now, maybe you just imagined it, said Tommy. Well, help me rearrange these desks so that Liberty has some running room, I said. So we quickly pushed the desks to the side of the room. I climbed up onto Liberty's saddle and invited Tommy to join me. Where are we going? Tommy asked, sounding a bit unsure. The Mayflower, of course, I said. I've never been on a ship before, Tommy said sheepishly. Good to know, I said. If you feel yourself getting nauseous, I have medicine for motion sickness. But I don't want to give it to you unless you really need it. Tommy said, well, let's hope I don't need it. Now, before I have you get on Liberty, I want you to watch what's going to happen. Liberty will open a literal time portal right here in the classroom. He and I will jump through first, and we'll find you some 17th century clothing, and then we'll return for you. What? You don't think people in 1620 were wearing blue jeans, sneakers, and a T-shirt that says Manchester football? Tommy winked. I smiled back. And I said, I happen to know that American football wasn't started until 1879. So the answer would be no. Don't worry, we'll be back in a flash, Liberty said. Tommy looked doubtful. So I should just sit down and watch this? What exactly is going to happen? Is lightning involved? I mean, that's how it happened the first time, right? It's a bit hard to explain, I said. That's why I want you to sit this one out and just watch. Now, can we get you anything while we're gone? Something to snack on? A beverage, perhaps? Liberty asked. Tommy plopped down at a random desk along the side of the room, grabbed his backpack, pulled out a Snickers bar. I'm good. I'll just sit here and play Word Slam-a-Jam on my phone. Just before class, I got my highest score, 126 points, with the word quillback. What's quillback? Some kind of porcupine, Liberty asked. No, it's a fish. A carp sucker, actually. They're pretty common in lakes on the East Coast. They're easy to spot because one ray of their dorsal fin's longer than... Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes my inner nerd comes out, Tommy said apologetically. He took a bite of his candy bar. So how long is this trip of yours going to take? Well, you'd be surprised. What can happen with a time-traveling horse, I said, winking. Okay, Liberty, let's go. As Liberty started galloping, he said, rush, rush, rushing to history. The time portal started to open. Tommy watched as a circular pattern of gold and purple swirled in the center of the classroom and quickly expanded until it was the size of a large satellite dish. Liberty jumped through the center and disappeared. A second later, the portal closed. Tommy was still chewing his first bite of Snickers when the time portal reopened and Liberty jumped back into the classroom. Cool, Tommy said as he jumped out of his seat. That was whacked out. The portal thingy. I saw it. There were these swirling colors, and then you jumped through and vanished. That was crazy. Seriously, I saw it, but I still don't believe it. Wait. Why are you back so soon? Did you forget something? Tommy asked, confused. We're finished. We have your clothes, I said, pulling my traveling bag over my shoulder and tossing it on the floor near the desk that Tommy was sitting at. And we brought you back a freshly baked carp pie, Liberty said. You got me a what? Tommy asked. A carp pie, Liberty clarified. You know, like a meat pie, but with fish. You seem so excited about the word quillback that I thought you would enjoy eating it. It looks delicious. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing. Personally, I'm a vegetarian. But the cook seasoned it with pepper and salt and nutmeg, and then baked it with raisins and lemon juice, slices of orange peels, with just a sprinkle of vinegar, and voila! I opened the lid of the serving tray to show Tommy the 17th century dish. He swallowed his bite of candy bar. He looked at the fish like it was an alien artifact from Mars. How is this possible? You weren't gone for more than 5 seconds, Tommy managed to say. Well, actually, it took us closer to an hour, I said. We had to visit two different clothiers to find all the items I was looking for. I hope it all fits. And then Liberty was absolutely set on getting you this carp pie. I must admit, it was very thoughtful of him. I covered the fish with the lid. Tommy took the tray, not really knowing what to do with it. I said, when it was time to come back to the modern day, Liberty returned to the present at the same time we'd left, give or take a few seconds. I told you we'd be back in a flash, Liberty said, smiling. You can do that? Tommy asked. I mean, I guess you can because you did. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that time travel is even possible. Don't think about it too much, I said. Why don't you take the bag, slip down to the bathroom, and change? And when you get back, we'll all jump through the time portal and begin our voyage on the Mayflower. Oh, okay, sure. Well, that sounds good to me, Tommy said. Oh, And thanks for the fish. Not much time to eat it now. Maybe I can just leave it in the classroom, and then when we return back to the present in a few seconds, she'll still be warm, right? You catch on fast, Tommy, I said. So Tommy set the tray on the teacher's desk, grabbed the bag of clothes, and left the room. He returned a few minutes later, looking like a 17th century pilgrim boy. He wore a short-sleeved, off-white linen shirt with a collar, and over that, he wore a blue doublet that buttoned down in the front. In addition, he wore green baggy breeches, yellow stockings, leather shoes, and instead of his red baseball cap, he wore a brown wide-rimmed hat. Tommy handed me the bag with his modern-day clothes, pointed to what he was now wearing, and said, I assume you intended me to wear these clothes, right? There was a dress in the bag, too, but it really wasn't my style. I chuckled. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yes, I purchased a dress for Freedom. I thought she might need it the next time we time jump. I slipped the bag into a bottom drawer in the teacher's desk. Tommy lifted his heel out of his shoe and put it back again. For the record, these shoes need some padded insoles, and these pants. What do they call again? Breeches, I said. Yeah, these breeches. They're really itchy. Well, you look great, I said, from on top of Liberty's saddle. Now jump up here behind me. Tommy seemed unsure of what to do and said, I've never been on a horse before. No worries, I said. We'll make this easy. Liberty, walk over to the teacher's desk so Tommy can climb on from there. When Tommy was sitting behind me, I said, hold on to the saddle. Liberty is a smooth jumper. He's getting better at where he lands. But just in case. Now, for the record, Liberty defended, I've been 100% accurate since we accidentally landed in Boston Harbor. Let's not forget the Civil War battlefield, I reminded him. Well, it's hard to forget when you keep bringing it up. Back then I was a novice. But I think I've come a long way, not to mention that I did save you from that cannonball. What cannonball? Tommy asked curiously. It's a story for another time, I said. Liberty, we need to land undetected on the Mayflower. Got it, said Liberty as we galloped forward, rush, rush, rushing to history. The time portal opened just as it did moments earlier. As clearly as possible, I pronounced each word, September 6th, 1620, Plymouth, England, the launching of the Mayflower. I had found that giving the exact date, location, and name of the historical event helped Liberty get us to where we needed to be. The sensation of jumping through time was always the same. A rush of air sent goosebumps all over my body. The hair on my arm stood on end. And for a split second, it felt like you're swinging backward on a swing set. Yes, backward, probably because we were heading backward in time. The sensation happened only when we were airborne and passing through the portal. Once we landed, the feeling was gone. 2 seconds later, we landed on what looked like a cobblestone street behind some large crates and barrels. As we peered out from behind the cargo, we immediately saw a large sailing vessel about 100 feet in length and 25 feet wide that was moored alongside a stone wharf. 3 tall masts with square-rigged sails stood like the Queen's Guards at Buckingham Palace, as men, women, and children carrying few possessions walked down a dozen or so stone steps and then crossed over a wooden gangplank to board the ship. That's it, I exclaimed. That's the legendary Mayflower with the original pilgrims as they board to sail to the New World. This is truly an exceptional moment for America. This little ship with 102 passengers is going to cross the wide Atlantic Ocean more than 3,000 miles with no guarantee they're going to make it? Imagine how nervous or scared you might feel. Thank you, Captain Positive, for the pep talk, said Liberty. Let's try and board with the pilgrims, I said. Liberty, I doubt they'll let a horse on the ship, so you'll need to follow closely behind to stay under cover. 10-4. Going into stealth mode in 3, 2, 1, Liberty said as he took a giant breath and disappeared. How will we get on if they have a passenger list? Asked Tommy. We walked toward the ship. What if they don't have any more room for two more passengers? I happen to know that many of the pilgrims had second thoughts about traveling to the New World and decided to stay in England, I said. You mean they were nervous or scared about going? Tommy asked. I nodded and then continued, yes. And I imagine others were persuaded not to go by family or friends. Or perhaps the trip from Holland to England made them realize that a longer voyage to the New World would be more than they could handle. Right up before the Mayflower left for the New World, there were many passengers who changed their minds and jumped ship, as they say. Well, then they might be happy to see us, Tommy said. As we reached the gangplank, William Bradford recognized me and said, Rush Revere, why, it does my heart good to see you again. And this is the person that you were waiting for in Holland? And he smiled affectionately while straightening Tommy's brown leather hat. Yes, this is Tommy, I said as I put my arm around Tommy's shoulder. His parents are gone, so I'll be caring for him on this voyage. It's a pleasure to meet you, Tommy, Bradford said as he reached out his hand to Tommy, who shook it. William turned back to me and said, let's talk some more after the ship sets sail. The captain's very eager to leave. He says the winds are perfect. We're just waiting for one more family. Here they come. Wonderful. We should be leaving in a minute or two. We'll wait for you on deck. It'll be an honor to talk more with you, I said, with great enthusiasm. We continued past William and crossed the gangplank to board the Mayflower. As I stepped onto the upper deck, a chill went through my body. The kind of sensation you get when you walk into the front gates of Disneyland, or the feeling that you have when you wake up knowing that it's Christmas morning. Unbelievable, said Tommy. I just checked my phone. It says I have service. I'm not sure how that's possible, but I think I'll send Freedom a text from the Mayflower. Let's walk over closer to the bow where we can take a picture without anyone noticing. Plus, if Liberty's behind us, he'll want a place to get another breath of air. Good idea, I said. Seagulls flew overhead, their calls competing with about 100 or so passengers who were crowded near the aft and starboard quarter of the ship. I assumed they were calling to family and friends who were standing near the steps of the wharf. The sailors were calling back and forth to each other as large sails plumed from the square rigging. It was time to sail. The gangplank had disappeared, and the ship was no longer anchored to the wharf. We were drifting out to sea. As the ship rocked leeward for the first time, Tommy stumbled to the ship's railing as if he had just entered an ice skating rink without ever having ice skated. I'm good. I'm good, he said. Guess I don't have my sea legs yet. I'll get the hang of it. He let go of the railing, balanced himself with his hands out to his sides as if he were surfing. This is so awesome. I smiled at Tommy as he continued to surf, but I was also curious to know where Liberty was. I called, Liberty! There was no sign of him and no answer. I looked over the ship's railing to see if I could spot him somewhere on the wharf. I didn't see him. Tommy saw the concern in my eyes. Oh, boy, I thought. It's one thing to lose a cat or dog, but I wasn't sure how to start searching for a lost magical horse.